Welcome to the Essential Skills for Humaning podcast, where we explore the fundamental abilities and insights that make us better humans. Here's your host, Christina Eanes.
Hi, everyone. I'm Christina Eanes, owner of Eanes Training and host of the Essential Skills for Humaning podcast. I'm so excited today in this first episode to welcome two dear friends and colleagues, Lori Mulstein and Stephanie Farlow. So let's hear a little bit about their background. We'll start with Lori.
Thanks, Chris. I am one of your trainers and facilitators, so I just love that. I'm also an independent trainer and facilitator, and I do work with other clients, focusing in on leadership skills and communication skills. So I was really excited about this podcast. Spent the majority of my career at a large corporation. You may have heard of it, Verizon Communications. And I was in various leadership positions there in sales, marketing, and learning and development. And when I'm not doing this, either communicating with you and participating in your podcasts and doing training, I'm also a part-time actor, director, and improviser. So I think that that's helped me in my career, and actually my ability to improvise has helped me in my acting career as well. So I'm just delighted to be with you today.
Awesome. I love it. Yeah. Improv is huge, right? For interpersonal skills. We even have a class around that. Yeah. So, okay, Stephanie, on to you.
All right. Well, welcome, everyone. Thank you so much for visiting us on this inaugural podcast for, I'll just call it ESH. And yes, I am also one of the facilitating partners with Eanes Training. And I also, like Lori, have my own business, also doing leadership coaching and facilitation as well. So clearly, we enjoy doing this work. That's why we're here. And prior to doing this, prior to being an independent consultant, I spent the majority of my career in public service. So I started at the state level in public health. Then I transitioned into federal level, where I spent the majority of that time, actually all of that federal service with the FBI, which is where Chris and I got a chance to meet when she was a senior manager for our leadership development program. Had multiple roles within the FBI. I like to say I grew up as a professional and as a person in that organization. And definitely I continue to be on that journey of personal growth and development. And hopefully that reflects in how I facilitate and coach people at various different organizations. And I love the fact that Lori added something which is not work-related, and it's something that we also ask of our participants in our workshops. So when I am not doing this work, I am currently spending the rest of my time actually relearning three languages, Korean, French, and Spanish.
I love it. Well, and again, prior to, again, you mentioned FBI. So I was a violent crime analyst and the senior manager with the Leadership Development Program. And I opened up Eanes Training about, oh gosh, almost 10 years ago when I left the FBI and my kids flew from the nest. So, and again, of course, you know what I'm going to mention for what I do in my spare time, right?
Oh, yes.
Should we escape say it rooms. On three?
One, two, three.
Two, no. One.
Escape rooms. So if you want to learn more about those adventures and what I've learned from doing escape rooms, visit lifeisanescaperoom.com. And of course, we include that in some of our workshops as well. So Eanes Training has a catalog of courses to help organizations' employees build their interpersonal skills. And we thought this podcast would be a natural extension of that. We'll start with us on this first episode, and then each week there will be an episode released with a guest sharing their knowledge in a particular area in some relation to interpersonal skills. So I hope you subscribe and continue the learning through this weekly episode. Okay, for our first episode, we thought we would share lessons learned when we were, shall we say, unsuccessful, as well as successful in our interpersonal skills. We've been honing them for years, and of course, we're still making mistakes probably daily, right?
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Yep. Yes. So this is a process, the lifelong learning process of honing our interpersonal skills, and they just make us a lot more successful in life. So I thought we would start out with each sharing when we were unsuccessful and what we learned from it, what the impact was and what we learned from it. So why don't we start with you, Stephanie? Can you share a story of maybe when lack of interpersonal skills got in your way and what you
yeah,
learned
definitely.
From it?
Oh, yes. I mean, what was ironic? Well, it's not really ironic. What's just kind of funny, and that's part of that self-reflection that that is essential for not just leaders, but just professionals in general, is the... It's like, wow, there's this vast catalog of all my failures, and we don't want to dwell too much on them. And it's really important on how we, on the words we choose and in the way we talk to ourselves. And so I love the fact that, you know, I definitely reframed it and was thinking about things that I've done in the past, which I've definitely learned from. So I'm going to choose something, and based on my introduction, you folks probably can figure out that I love learning. I'm a lifelong learner. And when I latch onto a particular topic that just really piques my interest, I go full throttle. If you've ever driven or ridden on the Autobahn, in Germany, it's like 200 miles per hour. I don't do kilometer. I don't do that conversion in my head very quickly, but it's pretty fast. And so especially when I joined the leadership development program with Chris when she was a senior manager there, it was drinking from a fire hose, learning everything I could about leadership, about management, about really interpersonal skills in the workplace. And I think that part of doing that, I dive so far into it. I put everything, all my energy into learning something new, that what I end up missing is I don't like to use the word balance, but definitely being able to understand where my energy, where I need to stop for a particular, for that day, because I could go on and on and on. You know, basically forget that I have to eat, which is shocking for people who know me, because, you know, I love my food. But I, to the point where, yes, I forget to eat because I'm so engrossed into this thing about learning something new. And that's kind of what happened there, to the point where sometimes to the point where I let some relationships go. And I think it contributed to some relationships not being successful. And it sounds kind of dramatic. However, I would say when I've done my self-reflection, that's definitely been a cause. And we change, especially when we acquire new knowledge. And in the past, what that's done is that word hubris, it really would kick in. And I'd be like, yes, now I know all this stuff. And you people don't know any of this stuff. Oh. It's my job to teach you. And obviously, I was mature enough to not put that out to people who were in the room. But when that narrative is in your brain, and that's how we're operating, it comes out in a particular attitude and how people perceive us, because that mindset does leak out. And then following the hubris comes definitely the judgment, right? Definitely looking at other people who may not have the same passion and thinking that they are less than because of that. So, you know, taking something like this example where lifelong learning, anyone I come across, they tend to say, this is like the best, it's one of the best traits. And one of the key learning points has been that even the best traits has a dark side. Mm-hmm. And so what I've really learned to embrace is I used to love the word equanimity, because that's the closest thing to balance without it being like this visual of scales that are completely in aligned and truly balanced. And for me, it's really, especially as I've gotten older, it's really about tranquility, because it's about how do I still have passion and energy for something, like exploring, like right now I'm juggling three languages other than English, and to get back into my brain. How do I do that while still maintaining this feeling of I'm in a good place, I still have the energy, but I don't feel that, to quote the Merriam-Webster dictionary, that I'm agitated in my mind or spirit. And and when I was looking at different words to kind of really encapsulate how I've matured, I think my word of choice moving forward right now is really that tranquility. Like I can do all this, I can have all this energy, but my mind and spirit still feels good. Nice. That I'm in a good place. So that's my
nice story. Yeah, a lot of learning there, right?
Very much so. But myself, how and then, you know, that piece of emotional intelligence where it's how we are seen, how we understand how we show up, and how other people view how we show up, being able to be that observer, outside observer of our own behaviors, that's definitely been a skill I've had to work on.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Lori, how about you?
Yeah. So just for the record, I don't forget to eat no matter how stressed I am. So kudos to you, Stephanie, for that. And mine actually also has to do with a relationship or a breaking one. And it really kind of stuck in my head. So it's very specific. I was working in a very small group. It was just three of us. I was the new girl in town. I was the only girl in the group. There were two men and me. And we were charged with putting together a sales training program. And we had to work together to get this all done. And for those of you who do know me, I am not overly analytical. I am very people oriented, and some might say I'm impulsive, but it's just for me, it's just that creative energy that kind of falls through. And that's the way I work. And one of the people in the team in particular was very analytical, like really heavy analytical. And that's usually in the past has been, you know, one where my, you know, eyes roll back in my head and I'm like, oh, I'm just going to tune out. But we had to work together. And I was, and this has to do with my discomfort with conflict. And I don't want to say my fear of conflict. It's just discomfort with it. And I didn't want to step on anybody's toes. I didn't want to, you know, come out and just really say, you know, I think we need to work better together. You know, but I didn't do that. And so what I did was I just kind of let things simmer. And it got to the point where I let things simmer. And we were in a meeting and it just so happened that this person was constantly late when it came to things that had to do with my deliverables. And I took it very personally. And I don't know if anybody else has ever done this. And I'm challenging those of you out there who have. I sent in an instant message to who I thought was the other colleague. And I said, I can't believe he's late again. This
oh,
is
no.
so rude. You Boy. Know it's coming. And I sent it to the other person, to this person.
No.
Oh, yeah.
And things just really blew up from there, as you can well imagine. And it really had a huge impact on this little team, you know, talk about walking on eggshells and talking about, you know, trying to get things done. And so it had such an impact on deliverables and on the way that the little team worked, not to mention how the greater team worked. And I really felt that that had a mar on my reputation too, because I really do pride myself on building relationships. And in the process, for those of you who may have read Radical Candor by Kim Scott, what happened was I was doing manipulative insincerity. I wasn't addressing an issue that I felt should have been addressed to make the relationship work better, but I hadn't read Radical Candor at that point. So continuously learning. Now I have, and I look back at that and I keep thinking, like, if I had done that, what would have worked? So now I have to look in the future. And so when I feel myself going to that quadrant, I'm A, more cognizant of the fact that I'm doing it.
Yes.
Right. But B, I'm stop myself and think about how can I be more radically candid with this person and make the situation better. So that's my situation. And it this happened so much long ago that it still sticks with me. Mm-hmm. And so I keep thinking about it as a continuous learning experience.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, in both of your stories, I've heard a massive growth mindset, right? Mm-hmm. Learning from our mistakes. One, it's okay to make mistakes as long as we learn from them, right? And we adjust. Yeah. Huge.
Yeah. And I love that you kind of did a nice summary like that, Chris. And also, Lori, with your story, the way you kind of, especially the example that you shared, I was thinking about, and we definitely use Tasha Urich's, oh my gosh, I always mispronounce her last name, Tasha Urich's book, Insights, which I've absolutely loved and embraced. It really takes a look at, the self-awareness, like really digs deep into what that actually means. So highly recommend it. No, she does not pay us to plug the book. It's just really, really good.
She just deserves it.
She deserves
it. And neither does Kim Scott, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, and the only downside to Kim Scott, I would say for you, Lori, is that she just didn't write that book in time for you. She wrote it, I think, probably a little later than after that incident. But I was thinking about, based on just our examples, yours and mine, Lori, it was the earthquake. It was like an earthquake moment for us. Mm-hmm. And there are different types of earthquakes, right? They're like the ones that are exceptionally catastrophic. And then the ones that are just like, oh, because I was living in DC for the 2010. Was it 2010? Yeah. For the 2010 earthquake there. And I just remember being in the office, and the cubicle, the overhead of the cubicles, they're starting to shake. And I actually thought it was my colleague just being silly. I was like, is that you? And then it was the weirdest feeling. So I would equate this, maybe my example, well, I guess it'd be a really seismic earthquake, but it is those moments that when we do the self-reflection, we kind of say, yeah, that was a turning point. And and I love, Lori, that you pointed that out. Yep. This really, like, you still think about it. So that's kind of what sparked that. It was definitely an earthquake moment for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, speaking of earthquake moments, mine is something that happened quite a while ago, but it didn't turn into an earthquake moment until I became more mature.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
So it took a while for it to oh, wow, I really did that, didn't I? Impulsiveness is one of the emotional intelligence areas, right? Our level of impulsiveness, as well as, in contrast to that, our level of patience. So this was definitely impulsive, and it was non-empathetic. Mm. So I was not thinking of anyone else but myself. I used to, and I still am to an extent, but used to be extremely achievement focused. Like extremely achievement focused. And we were switching over in our office to a new software. And that required us to send out letters to all of the agencies who have submitted data to our database to let them know we're switching software and we needed to get their permission because it was going to go more public, not where anyone could access it, but where anyone who was part of our group could access it. So we needed to get their permission. So the office had decided that we were going to have one person who was in charge of creating all of these letters, and then they would give it to each of the other people in the office, the areas that they were assigned to, give those letters to them to send out and coordinate. Well, in my head, I was like, I am not going to wait on one person to create 600 letters for me. And when there's, you know, 10 other people who also need like 600 to 800 letters created for them. Mm-hmm. So you know what's happening, right? Mm-hmm. So I got the letter and I created my own spreadsheet of my agencies and I merged them and very quickly, like within an hour, printed out 600 letters and got them in the mail and sent them out. And then they started coming back, people signing them saying it was okay. And I realized that all of them had, because we in the letter, all of them, we had to tell them how many cases they had in our system. And all of them had the same number on all of the letters. And I realized I messed up on the mail merge. I didn't check it before I sent it out. Yeah, because I wasn't going to wait on someone and I wanted these to go out and I wanted to be the first person who had all of their agencies taken care of. Mm-hmm. Wow. Have I learned a lot since then, which we'll get into soon. But really, it was patience, you know, looking from the other's perspective, realizing that sometimes we need to work within the system to keep those, you know, relationships formed. And even if I can do it more efficient and effective, doesn't necessarily mean that that's the right way to do it, right, or how it needs to be done. There was so much learning in this. Oh, yeah. I mean, it hurt relationships, you know, much like you were saying, yeah, Lori, with yours. Yeah. And Stephanie, you said too, right? It hurt, mm-hmm, relationships.
Sure.
I was kind of the lone wolf.
Yeah, like that Christina Eanes over there.
Mm. Yeah,
yeah. And
it's,
so much.
It's lonely to be the lone wolf.
Yes,
it is. Well, yeah. Yes, it's very lonely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's why the three of us are together. No, just kidding.
That's right, because we've learned a lot.
For sure. Oh, yeah.
For sure.
What I find really interesting, Chris, is that the three of us, you know, and I know both of you are very proud of the fact that we, you know, have good relationships, good work relationships, yeah, you know, all the rest of that. We tell good stories, and yet our challenge, not our failure, was around relationships. And
yes,
you know, when we thought more about ourselves, like self-preservation or self-learning, yeah, or whatever, or our own need to be, you, mm-hmm, know, look at me, I'm the achiever.
Yeah.
You know, look what happens. So that's, yep, really interesting.
Well, and now that's led us to what we do today, and that's helping people, you know, create better relationships in their lives, because that's how everything gets done.
Yeah.
Relationships, productivity, everything. It's all happiness, right? It's, yeah, all right, based on relationships. Yeah. Yeah.
And communication. I mean, that's the foundation of that too, right?
Of relationships. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The communication is the relationship, right? Because, yeah, that's how you develop that.
Oh yeah,
that.
True that. Yeah, yeah. If you don't talk to someone, like, there's no relationship.
Exactly.
Right. There's no communication. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
What I find interesting too is, when we are doing a workshop around these topics, I find it really interesting that, you know, people are really more engaged when I share with them my failure.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, when it didn't work for me.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's a learning experience in and of itself.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We learn so much more from our failures than our successes.
Yeah. And that's, and I'm so glad you brought that up too, Lori. And I think what it does is, we're leaders in the classroom. They know that as soon as they come into the room, we let them in. We're the first face they really see, literally and figuratively, especially whether it's in person or virtual. So they know we are the one basically controlling their experience for the next however many hours or whatever set amount of time they're with us. Mm-hmm. And so right away, we hold power. And I think every single one of us has a very unique experience with what power looks like, with a relationship with people who are in power. And some people, you can tell they've had, they show up with certain behaviors. They'll either be very very much do what you tell me to do, or, you know, they very much follow the power. And then there's some who want to push and test the limits of whatever it is you put out, whether it's time limits or, they really want to go down a rabbit hole, get off topic. So they really like to test the waters. I think sometimes some people will like to do that. But I think in this, I'm pulling from Brené Brown. She has the power of vulnerability. Yep. Mm-hmm. And especially when there's somebody in power, people really appreciate, to your point, mm-hmm. us being up there and saying, hey, I know we're here delivering this workshop, and we're also here to tell you that we have not always been successful. And it mm-hmm. really helps kind of like, well, the whole point of this podcast, it helps humanize
yes.
what it means to be, especially in our lane, a professional in a workplace. Like our clientele are people who work in the office setting, and there's a lot of politics. There's a lot of, rewarding experiences. But those politics, that organizational politics, it can be very dicey, and it can be a very difficult thing to navigate. And to hear that, you know, we are all three very successful professionals, and we've also had our struggles. And I think it also makes people feel like, oh, okay, it's okay to make mistakes, because you can't bounce back from it. But the key is, and I think we all share that, is what have we learned from that experience so that we don't repeat the same mistakes?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So when we come back from a short commercial break, we'll share how we did implement that learning with some news stories.
Transform your organization with EANS Training. Our premier interpersonal skills training programs are tailored to enhance your organization's employees in communication, emotional intelligence, leadership, and more. We have a catalog of expert-led courses designed to meet the dynamic needs of today's workforce. With highly engaging in-person, hybrid, and remote sessions, we can help elevate your organization's performance and success. Learn more at EANSTraining.com.
All right, welcome back. So now let's talk about how we've implemented the hard-earned learning from the mistakes that we've made in regards to interpersonal skills. Lori, let's start with you this time.
Yeah, so my story of success has to do with making a presentation at an industry conference. So I was invited to present. I had written a paper on a topic. This was when I was in healthcare, and I was doing a topic on technology and how that can help integrate the healthcare experience. And so I was invited in to make this presentation. And I get to the area where I need to be. And it was a smaller conference. It was about 100-150 people. And the people who are running the conference, they're running around, their hair's on fire. They're just like, because none of the technology was working.
Oh,
none
no.
of it. And I'm sure there are many of us out there who have, learned our presentation, we're ready to rock and roll, it's going to be great. And now this. So this is that, stumbling block. And so at that point, I said, well, I'm not going to make a big deal out of the fact that the technology isn't working, because these people who have invited me in, this is reading the room, right? And improving a relationship. I said, well, I'm just going to suck it up, and I'm going to just do my best. Right? So, PowerPoint's out the window, and now here I am, and I'm making this presentation. This is where my improv skills have really been honed. It's also where my ability to read people have helped me. In my other story, I wasn't very good at that, but this one I am. And it actually became a conversation. So it wasn't this staid presentation. This was, I knew the topic, I knew the people, I knew the audience from a couple of standpoints. One is I had been part of this group for a while. And I also had a really good conversation with the people that were leading the conference around, tell me what they're interested in. What kind of questions are they going to ask? So it was also understanding the audience. And so I felt more confident. And it became this conversation, and it was great. I was asking them questions. They were asking me questions. And it was probably, I have to say, one of the best presentations I had ever made. And I think it was a really great learning experience for the audience. And this was also before I became a facilitator and a trainer. And I felt more confident when I moved into that kind of a role because I actually did that. It was just, it just felt innate and, you know, being curious. And that it just felt really good. It was just, you know how you have like that high when you leave, you know, it's like, oh, that was really great. And that was also the other thing I learned. So it was also managing your nerves, right? Because here I am, I'm going into this conference. I'm ready. I have my presentation. I'm ready to go. And all of a sudden things blow up and, you know, people are running around. And I had to really calm myself and, you know, don't show them, you know, don't let them see you sweat kind of thing. And so, it's, you know, it's a matter of taking a couple of breaths and saying, I got this, you know, reframing. I think earlier you said about the reframe, Stephanie, you know, reframing where I was coming from. And so that was that obviously felt really good. And so that's my story.
I love it. Yeah. Emotional self-awareness, I heard. Emotional self-management. Well, and you've taken those skills into the classroom for us, and it has been amazing. I always love seeing, you know, people show up for our classes and they expect it to be the typical class, you know, like they get their laptop out, they're ready to listen while they're checking their email. And then we start asking questions and we start engaging them in conversations and getting them into individual conversations and as a whole. And they're like, oh, this is different. And that's where that learning comes from. And you've been honing those skills for a long time.
Yeah.
I love it.
Thanks.
Yeah. Okay. Stephanie, how about you?
Yeah. So I want to kind of stay with that lifelong learning theme. So we talked a little bit, at least I talked a little bit about the dark side. It's not really dark, but it was
the learning opportunity.
The learning side. and this is also a learning side, however, with a more positive outcome. So, I mean, going back to, you know, when I first joined the leadership development program, I didn't know anything about leadership or management. And just as a side note, now having done this work for, it's like more than 10 years now. We're getting old.
I am not
the youngest
contributing,
person
right.
on the call.
I am not contributing that part of the conversation.
I mean, it's just a number. clearly. But it's just so funny. But yeah, it's just on a side note, I wish we would teach these skills really intentionally, really right from like pre-kindergarten. Because I would say I would definitely be, I would have been a much nicer, more pleasant and easier to work with person from like grade school all the way into the professional realm if I had had these skills then. And like, you know, granted, it's great to know that now once, you know, but it's like, it would have been so much better if I had it earlier. Anyway.
Hard-earned learning.
It was so hard. And I do kind of feel bad for the scorched earth, like the people who are left behind, you know, from my path of like, I mean, in the past, it was always, and this is tied to being a lifelong learner. But what I had learned was that if I just, that proverbial, let's just pound the brick wall and then I will get my way. That had worked for me. So that was something that was very much reinforced because then people are like, we're tired of listening to her whine. We'll just give her what she wants. And then there comes a point where somebody says, oh no, you're not getting what you want. You are not going to be able to break through that brick wall. And then I'm just standing there like, really? And so that's tied to being a lifelong learner, because sometimes we use, I guess I'm kind of reverting back to my previous story. We will use this strength almost as, I don't want to use the word weapon, but yeah, I just used the word weapon as a weapon to achieve our objectives, whatever they are. And what I've really worked on is to take that trait that, you know, I always love to learn, and to really use it, for lack of a better term, to use it for good.
Use your superpower for good.
Yep.
Exactly. Yeah. And so what I really appreciate about this trait that I have is that I get to bring it with our participants in our workshops. And I also am able to use this when I coach clients for whatever growth that they're looking for. Because there is definitely a plus to all this vast knowledge that's somehow stored somewhere in the dark recesses of my brain that somehow magically it pops up because it helps people at that moment. And so continuously, so while I'm juggling relearning three languages, I still really, I need to get better about doing that, but definitely keep up to date on the latest research as well as the latest books on our field, because while for the most part, there's definitely the foundation, the standards. Every few years, there's always something new or some new story or research that really digs deeper into a particular area. And that really helps, not just me as a facilitator, I would say it also helps me to just be a better human in general. Mm-hmm. And, I really appreciated that. So I'd mentioned earlier, Tasha Urich's book, it really helps me, not only learn definitely a lot more about self-awareness, but also by reading that book, I also definitely learned something from it and used some of those points of learning on myself as well. Mm-hmm. So it's been really helpful.
Nice. Yeah, we love our resources.
Yes, we do.
Yes, I try to read every day, and that's another great book too. Yeah, very similar for me. The story that I had mentioned before the break, it took a while for that to become an earthquake moment for me. But once I started realizing, and now it's ingrained in me, but of course that doesn't mean I'm not making mistakes, that it's extremely important if you want to get anything done in life, go anywhere, achieve anything, you absolutely need to build relationships along the way for everything, home, work, build those relationships. So now with that learning, that self-awareness of, I'm not just going to do what I need to do because I want to achieve something that I need to build relationships. I started when I was building, Ian's training, with, you know, like the business development stuff, just building relationships. My focus was not on trying to make money. It was not necessarily on building a business. It was on building relationships. Mm-hmm. And it has been an amazing ride. I remember for one quote unquote business develop meeting, someone was inquiring about the kind of services that we provide. And I went to their location. We walked into a conference room to start discussing, and they were trying to show me how to set up my laptop and plug it in so I could do a presentation. And I was like, I don't have a presentation. I'm here to ask you some questions to see what you need. Then we'll see if we're a good fit. But yeah, I'm here to just discuss and I didn't say build a relationship with you, but you know, it's that patience that I completely lacked in the previous story, you know, and that empathy and mm-hmm. trying to see the other person's perspective and what they need. So that's just one example, but that shift in perspective and constantly working on it has helped tremendously in all areas of my life. And I'm so thankful that we're able to continually work on ourselves and help others gain that awareness too.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So any other thoughts on this launch of this, we're going to talk about interpersonal skills in every episode here.
You know, I think that this is just a great way to reinforce the, not the need to build better interpersonal skills, but it is.
Yeah.
Because it's not necessarily academic, right? It's not like and I think you mentioned before in terms of the classes that we teach and things like that, but it's what I love about what we do is that it's not heavily theoretical. You know, yes, we do reading. Yes, we have resources, but what it really is this, the self-awareness and the ability to try it. And we can't get better at interpersonal skills unless we do it. Yes. You know, you can't read your way through building a better relationship.
Oh, gosh, no. Right? Unfortunately, no.
You've got to do it, and you've got to make mistakes, and you've got to learn from it. But you also have to be open to it. You also have to say that it's not just, it's not you, right? It's me, it's us, and the rest of that. So I think for me, reinforcing the fact that you're doing this podcast, Chris, is just another way to reinforce that.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Nice. That almost sounds like a final piece of advice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Like, there we go. Know, like, just do it.
Just do
just
it.
Do it.
Mm-hmm. Stephanie, what about you? What's your final piece of advice?
Well, I'm just going to piggyback off of Lori, which is, I think, what I've been doing for this entire podcast episode. Because
it's a great thing. It's a good back and forth.
That's we're why yes we're, anding
yes,
each other.
Yes, we are.
We're totally yes anding. And so, for those of you who don't know, that is a prime improv technique. And I will not steal Lori's thunder on that. and I want to say what we do. All three of us do successfully with our workshops and with the people who are there is we immediately create that safe space for people to explore, for people to try out something new. And whether whoever's listening, whether you're a people manager or a colleague, that is, for me, that is one of the foundations of having effective, positive relationships and being able to sustain really good relations is to make whoever you are communicating with, and communication comes in multiple forms, and is to give them the space to create that space where people feel safe.
Yes.
And so it could be, and that's part of something that I learned while I was a coach, a leadership coach in training, which is to be able to just sit in silence, let the other person, like literally, that is providing space and time for people to just talk without having to butt in and waiting until they're done with their thoughts. And I kind of tailoring off of that, one final piece of advice is that when some people really need to talk, they're not necessarily looking for advice. They just want to just, we as humans, we're social animals. Sometimes when we need to work through something in our minds, it's just so helpful to have a fellow human just sitting across from us, whether virtually or in person or even on the phone, but just to know that there is another human who is there. And for that moment of time, we are the most important person for them in that moment. And that is one of the greatest gifts we can give, that we can give one another. And I tell this to, I think, just about every participant in every workshop. And so that gift of presence is all part of creating that safe space and in order to build and sustain positive relationships.
So. Absolutely.
Okay. Amen.
Yay. Now, my final piece of advice is quite simply, when it comes to your interpersonal skills, don't think of them as mistakes, thinking of them as learning opportunities. Mm-hmm. Use that to gain better self-awareness. Try something different the next time. Learn from that. Hone in on it. Try something different the next time. Continual growth.
Yep.
Love it.
Well, thank you, ladies, for joining us today at this inaugural episode of the Essential Skills for Humaning podcast. And for our listeners and viewers, we hope to see you in the next episode.
Thank you for tuning in to the Essential Skills for Humaning podcast. We hope you've gained valuable insights to enhance your journey as a human being. Remember, practice makes progress. Keep honing those essential skills. And until next time, keep being the best version of yourself. For more resources, visit eanstraining.com.